Yankee Soap present a thrilling and exciting drama of life in Big Town, starring Edward G. Robinson with Claire Trevor. Folks, if anything deserves a blare of trumpets, it's the new 1940 Rinso. Yes, sirree, in households from coast to coast, there's been excitement aplenty ever since the makers of Rinso added that wonderful new ingredient, the Suds Booster. Rinso now gives richer, creamier suds than ever in even the hardest water. And say, wait till you see what a cinch dishwashing can be with the new 1940 Rinso in your dishpan. Great mountains of suds that make it a snap to soak grease and food particles loose in a few minutes. Then, a flick with your dish mop, a rinse, and presto, you can dry them clean as clean can be in a twinkling. Now don't forget, ladies, the Rinso on all grocer shelves is the new 1940 Rinso in the same familiar box, but with a world of difference in the suds. In the dramatic series Big Town, Steve Wilson, managing editor of the Illustrated Press, is played by Edward G. Robinson. Lorelei Kilburn, his society editor, is played by Claire Trevor. Our story opens in one of the underground shafts of the Big Town coal mine. Two workers are riding dump cars loaded with anthracite down the shaft.
Let's call this the last load, shall we, Jimmy?
Okay. It must be almost 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Gee, I wish they'd ease up on that there cable. These old cars ain't built for fast riding.
Hey, something's wrong. Huh? We should be moving this fast.
Look, the cable, it's dragging loose.
Holy smoke, what do we do?
Pull on that brake, quick. We're picking up steam.
It doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, let me help you.
It's no use, it's jammed.
Just like every other piece of machinery in this rotten mine. How are we going to stop this thing?
I don't know, we can't jump, it's too late.
Look, the shaft, right in front of us. We're crashing into it. Look out.
Confound it, Fletcher. When I tended to play up a story, I mean play it out.
But I did, Steve. It was only worth 2 sticks, and I gave it a full column.
You think that two men's lives are just worth 2 sticks in the Illustrated Press?
But where's the news value?
Two poor coal miners are dead because the Big Town Coal Mines Incorporated won't spend the cash to make their mine savers money, and science can make them. That's the news value, Fletcher.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll show you. Miss Foster.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
Bring me in the folders on the Big Town Mines.
Yes, sir, right away.
I've made up my mind, Fletcher, that I'm not going to let another accident at the Big Town Mines get by with a few lines on an inside page. I want you to have a look at the yearbook of the Bureau of Mines. It'll open your eyes.
Here you are, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, thank you, Miss Foster. That's all. Now, Fletcher, we know that coal mining is one of the most dangerous occupations in this country. Now, look here. 14 years ago, over 9 people were killed for every million tons of coal mined.
That seems awfully high, Chief.
Yes, but today, thanks to modern safety methods and equipment, the fatalities have been reduced over 70%.
In the Big Town mines, too?
Oh, no, Fletcher, that's just it. That's my complaint. Their ratio of fatal accidents is nearly 10 men killed for every million tons mined. In other words, Big Town mines, as far as safety for its employees is concerned, are worse than they were 14 years ago. Yes, and this in spite of the splendid work of the Bureau and its Division of Safety.
Gosh, Steve, I had no idea.
Yes, neither has the public, but they will tomorrow when these figures are published in the Illustrated Press.
You mean you're going to print these facts?
Why not?
Well, what about old Dave Campbell?
What about him? What about old Dave Campbell?
Why, he's president of the Big Town Mine, chairman of the Big Town Trust Company, one of the biggest men in this town, Steve. You're not tackling some hoodlum of racketeer when you go after him.
Now, look, look, Fletcher. Suppose old Campbell himself had been in one of those cars that ran wild down that mine shack. That would have been a big story, wouldn't it?
Sure, but...
Well, 30 men were killed in Dave Campbell's mines last year. That's a big story, too. All of them might be alive today, but one but Dave Campbell's greed.
But, Steve, if you publish that, Campbell will move heaven and earth to get you. He's a tough old...
Yes, citizen. And if I didn't publish it, I'd be a yellow hound. What's worse, a bad newspaper man.
Okay, you're the boss, Steve.
Now, take these figures. Rewrite the story yourself. Replay the front page. Now, this is your banner head. Two more men die in Big Town mines. And don't spare the big type or Dave Campbell.
Where incarnation is this man Wilson's office?
Right in there, sir. I'll announce you. What name is
it? I'll announce myself.
Well, just a minute.
Are you Wilson?
Yes. Who are you?
You know John well. I'm David Campbell.
Oh.
You're going to know a lot of other things before I'm through with you.
Oh, well, Mr. Campbell, won't you sit down?
I can say what I've got to say standing up, Wilson. Everything you said about me in that paper of yours in the last 2 days, you're going to retract.
I haven't mentioned your name, have I, Mr. Campbell?
Certainly you have. You've mentioned the big town mine, haven't you?
That's right.
Well, that's me. I own it.
Huh.
Yes, and my father and grandfather owned it before me.
Yeah. And you're still running the mine just the way your father and grandfather did.
That's so.
Your men are facing 3 times the risk of any other coal miners in the country.
My miners aren't complaining, Wilson. They make good wages. They live in houses the company built for them. They got credit at the company store.
Well, perhaps it was a model town when your grandfather built it, Mr. Campbell, but today it's an eyesore. And as far as your store is concerned...
Yes, what about the company store?
I don't know what your men pay, but on my last visit there, I paid 20 cents for a 15-cent tin of pipe tobacco.
That's obvious.
Yeah, but all this is beside the point, Mr. Campbell.
Yes, what is the point?
The point is that men die unnecessarily in your mines. And I'm going to headline every fatal accident in those mines until you do something about it. Now, is that clear?
Perfectly. But before I do anything about that, I'm going to do something about you.
Well, I'll worry about that when it happens, Mr. Campbell.
When it happens, you will worry. Good day, sir.
Good day. Oh, windbag. Miss Foster.
Yes, sir.
Ask Laura to come in, please.
Yes, she's right here, Mr. Wilson.
And send Fletcher in, too.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
He's going to
yes,
tell...
Steve, yes, what
do you want? Lorelei, war has been declared.
What?
War against old man Campbell and the big town mine.
Oh, I see.
And I'm changing your rank around here, Curdy Locks. Huh? For the duration of hostilities, you're no longer a society reporter. You're a sob sister.
Steve, must you always talk in riddles?
Well, this is no riddle, Lorelei. I want you to go out to Campbell's mines and get a sob story. Take a cameraman with you. Take Toby, yes. Talk to those people out there, particularly the women.
Right.
I want to know how they feel about these fatalities of the mine. Have Toby take pictures of those old huts that once were Campbell's model town.
Okay,
Steve. You sent for me, Steve?
Yes, Fletcher. Campbell was just here. He threatened to silence our campaign against the big town mines. Well, instead of being silenced, Fletcher, I want this paper to scream just twice as loud.
Right, Steve.
Now get going, Lorelei. Find out all the dope you can and get back here by press time.
Now I see what Steve meant. Look at those dingy houses, broken windows, porches caved in. Why, it's horrible.
Great coffee, though, all right, huh?
Yeah, I suppose it is, but look at that house over there. Can you imagine calling a place like that home?
And we got a story to turn in, so let's get going.
Okay.
Hey, there's a woman out in front of that first house. Might as well start on her.
Hey, Toby, don't you think you ought to carry that camera a little less conspicuously? You know, there might be someone around here who objects to picture taking.
Didn't you ever hear the freedom of the press?
Yes, and I've also seen lusts on your head that have proven it. Terry! Terry! Terry!
Yeah, Mom?
Will you wake your father up like a good boy?
Okay.
I beg your pardon, madam.
Yes?
But my name is Lorelei Kilburn. I'm from the Illustrated Press.
Well?
Well, I've been sent down here to interview some of the women of your community about the living and working conditions of the miners and their wives.
Oh, I see.
Would you care to tell us a little about those conditions?
Well, we ain't supposed to talk much about ourselves, no strangers.
Hey, do you mind if I shoot some pictures of the house, lady?
No, no, you can't. You see, there's orders against such things.
Oh, just a couple of views. I'll send you one for your album, maybe.
No, no, please don't. And don't ask me no questions, miss. You'll only get me in trouble.
But all I want to know is...
I don't know nothing.
Hey, you.
Oh, look, here come the company police. Now, will you please go away?
Get some pictures anyway, Toby.
Put that camera down, buddy.
Oh, who are you?
I'll show you who I am, wise guy. Grab his camera, Walker.
Right, boss. I got it.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Campbell will hear about this.
Yeah, that's a laugh. He always likes to hear about you, stop.
Hey, let go of me. Give me back my camera.
I'm getting tough, huh?
You leave him alone.
Shut up.
No. I said, give me back my camera.
Let him have it, Walker.
Tell me.
Oh, grab that game. What happened?
Hey, let go of me.
Where is that camera on the rock?
Mr. Parsons at the bank, Mr. Wilson.
I'll put him on, Miss Parsons.
Yes.
Hello?
Good morning, Steve. Can you drop in sometime today?
Why, certainly. I'll be there before lunch.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, Steve, but my orders are to call those notes for the Illustrated Press.
But I don't understand, Parsons. They're my own notes secured by my stock in the paper. The interest has been paid regularly, and the notes curtailed substantially as they were due.
I'm sorry, Steve, but those are my orders from the board.
Well, and the board got its orders from Campbell. But this time he's wrong. I can show a statement that'll get me the money anywhere else in town. After all, Campbell doesn't own every bank in Big Town. Well, I was wrong, Lorelei. Campbell may not Scott own every bank in Big Town, but not one of them is going to make a loan when he chance thumbs down.
Steve, does that mean you're going to lose the paper?
Well, I'll lose control, which is almost as bad.
Oh.
It'll go into the hands of receivers appointed by Campbell, who will name a managing editor, who will take orders from him. If they haven't got the paper yet, I'm going to see Campbell myself.
Me that when the time came, you would do your work. And the time has come, is that it?
Well, in a way, that's true.
And so you're here with your hat in your hand, whining for me to call off the doll.
No, I've simply come to ask you not to destroy a valuable property. The Illustrated Press has its place in Big Town.
Oh, it'll still have its place. It'll change its character. You're warned, Wilson. In 48 hours more, your notes will be due. If they're not paid, you're through. I'll put a man in there who'll run it like a sane man, like Peabody used to run it, instead of the yellow rabble-rousing sheet you made of it. Big Tom will be well rid of you than what you stand for.
If I might have known it was useless to expect consideration from you.
Exactly. Good day, Mr. Wilson.
Train.
Yes,
I'll
be with you in just a minute.
Yes, and the condemned man ate a hearty breakfast. Only this is lunch.
Steve, I don't see how you can joke about this. Huh? After what Campbell police did to Toby and me, that beastly old man.
Well, it's been a lot of fun while it lasted. We've done Big Town a little good.
Oh, excuse me. You're Steve Wilson, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, I'm David Campbell's son, Douglas.
Oh.
Oh, well, how do you do? This is Miss Lorelei Kilburn.
How do you do, Miss Kilburn? We've met, haven't we?
Yes, I believe so.
Well, Mr. Wilson, I followed you here from Dad's office. I just want to shake your hand.
Why, certainly. But I don't quite understand why
you followed... my dad, that's why. I don't agree with what he's doing to you.
What do you mean?
Well, I think you're dead right about the mines, and nobody knows it better than I do. I spent 2 years in them after I got out of mining school.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. And I'd be running them now if it wasn't for one man, Barney Buffum.
But, well, who's he?
Oh, he's a mine superintendent. He has been for years. You see, I got home from school all full of ideals and high purpose. I wanted to clean out the air shaft, install new fans, and condemn a lot of old equipment. Oh, ever so many other necessary changes. But Buffum convinced my dad that all my ideas were newfangled claptrap, and Dad backed him up on it, so I quit. He won't even allow me near the mines now.
Well, that sounds...
Steve, I've been looking all over town for you.
Why, what's up, Toby?
There's been a terrible explosion at the Big Town mine.
What?
Explosion? I knew it. I knew it would happen someday.
Well, what happened, Toby?
A gas explosion. They don't know how many people are killed and hurt, but several men are trapped on one of the lower levels.
Oh, how awful.
Toby, huh? Toby, get right back to the office. Tell Fletcher to round up all available men.
Steve, what are you going to do?
Well, we'll move the facilities of the Illustrated Press to the Big Town Mine.
I want to go along with you.
Well, thank you, Douglas. We may need you. Toby.
Yeah?
Tell Fletcher we're setting up field headquarters of the Big Town Mine explosion. I want cameras, typewriters, phone lines, and telegraph wires.
Right.
Well, then what are you waiting for? Get a move on.
Okay, Chief.
Lorelei, this may be my last day on the Illustrated Press, but believe me, Curly Locks, it's also going to be the biggest.
We'll get back to Steve and Lorelei, but right now I'm going to be put on the spot by a Big Town housewife. Fire away, Mrs. Martin.
Well, you see, Mr. Seymour, with the big family wash to do every week, soap is a mighty important item in my household. That's why I want to know about the new 1940 rinse soap. For instance, how does it work in hard water?
Just swell, Mrs. Martin. You see, the new 1940 rinse soap has an amazing suds booster in it, an ingredient that makes rinse soap give far richer suds. Why, even in water hard as nails, you get heaps of longer-lasting, fast-acting suds that soak clothes snowy white, often in as little as 10 minutes. Then, merely a light rubbing between the fingers on extra dirty places, a thorough rinse, and the wash is ready to hang on the line. Does that answer your question?
Indeed it does. Now, something else. Is this new rinse safe for washable colors?
I should say so. Washable colors look bright as sunshine, even after dozens and dozens of washing.
Well, thank you, Mr. Seymour.
Mine. I'm glad of that, Mrs. Martin. And don't forget, this wonderful new suds booster has been added to Rinso at no extra cost to you. The Rinso your grocer now has is the new 1940 Rinso. It comes in the same familiar box.
Mm-hmm.
returning to the story of Big Town. Steve Wilson and Lorelei and young Douglas Campbell have arrived at the entrance to the shaft leading to the wrecked mine level. They're pushing through the crowd toward the entrance of the shaft.
Oh, Steve, this is awful. Just look at those drawn and haggard faces.
Yes, it's pretty bad.
With women and children waiting for they don't know what. Lady, if you're going in the mine, will you find out about my Joe? Joe Barrett's his name. Please.
Yes, I'll try.
My husband, too, miss. Yes. I've got to know that. Oh, I'm sure he's all right. Steve, can't we help these people?
Well, we'll do all we can, Lorelei.
Here we are, Mr. Wilson. There's a car coming up.
Oh, thank you.
All right, stand back, please. Get him out of the room, will you?
Oh, Joe.
We've got to make a way to get those boys to the hospital.
Please, look at those sweaters. Are they all dead?
No, Lorelei, not all of them. I hope not, anyway.
Those women. Watch their faces as they... stretchers go by them.
Move back, please, now. Give them air.
Yes.
Will you, please?
Oh, Joe! That's my Joe!
Please, I just can't take it.
Well, here, Lorelei, come with me. Douglas is talking to someone over there. Maybe it's Button, the superintendent.
Never mind that, Button. Until my father gets here, I'll give the orders and you'll take...
Look here, you young fool. I'm still in charge of this mine.
You'll still take orders from me. Do you understand? Now then, are all the men out of the mine?
That was the last load of them we can get.
How many are buried down there, Douglas?
Eight of the men are in the heading of the 800-foot level, if they're still alive.
Well, how did it happen?
Who knows? Maybe a spark from the car rail. Maybe some fool that a match to take a smoke. Probably never know.
Well, we know there was gas. There wouldn't be if the mine had been properly ventilated.
There's always gas in a coal mine.
It isn't allowed to accumulate in a good mine, Buffum.
Well, it's too late to talk about it now.
You're digging out the fallen material to get the men out there, aren't you?
Of course. Got a double crew working. But it's a big cave-in. May take days to get through.
But that'll be too late.
Well, how long can they last, Douglas?
Oh, I don't know. They're probably sealed in. They'll exhaust the oxygen in a few hours. Buffum, I'm going down to that level.
I'm going with you.
No, Steve, don't go down there.
No, there's no danger now, Laura.
Here, Mr. Wilson,
please.
If you're going, hop on the car. You coming, Buffum?
Yes. Slow her away, boys.
Okay, boys. We ain't got a chance, I tell you. We're going to die.
Quiet, Jenkins. We ain't going to die. Don't you think they ain't digging for us?
We're going to die. We're going to die.
Don't be a man. You'll be a man.
We ought to be digging too, Bill.
Of course we should. Now listen. We'll douse all the lamps at once. That'll save the batteries.
Okay, that's good idea.
Don't tell them how long it'll take them. Come on, we'll tackle that cave and dig toward him.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Listen.
See, that man? I hear Peck.
Huh? No. No, nothing. Just your imagination.
Come on, boys. Let's dig.
Come on.
Here we are. Stoop a little, Mr. Whitman.
Oh, yes.
Head against the timbers.
That's right.
The gang's working just around this next turn. Come on. Come on.
Listen,
man.
Listen.
Yeah? No, don't stop digging, but listen to me. Double pay for every man, and you're only working an hour at a time. Come on now, get into it, will you? There'll be a fresh gang down here every hour.
How far do you have to dig to get to the men?
Too far, if you ask me. There ain't a chance of reaching on time.
All right, Buffum. Then we're reaching too late. But we're going to reach them, aren't we, boys?
All right.
Come on, Buffum. We've got to go back to the surface and organize ships. One each hour until we reach those men.
Okay.
Come on, boys, dig in. We'll have a fresh gang down here in a few minutes.
Okay,
Mr. Wilson,
yes?
Can you walk back with me a little way?
Certainly.
What is it?
Button's right, Steve. Over 200 feet of that mine has fallen in. I don't know how long it'll take to dig through that fall. There's only one chance.
What's that?
Well, I know these mines better than I know my own house, and I've got an idea. Come on. We'll go back up above. I'll show you.
Anything you say, Douglas. Lead the way. Here we are.
Steve.
Hmm?
Oh. Steve, I was never so glad to see anyone in my life.
Well, did you get your story in?
Yes, and I stopped by the hospital. I've talked to the wives of some of the men who are still there in that awful mine. Steve, is there any hope for them?
Well, Douglas has an idea. He may be able to reach them.
Wilson.
Yes?
I just got this map of the mine where the men are buried.
Well, let's have a look at it.
Now, you see, this is the main shaft.
Right,
that's
here.
The one we just came out of.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Now, these side tunnels branch out of the main shaft at various levels.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where the men are trapped, at the 800-foot level.
Oh, yes, sir.
800-foot level,
yeah.
Yes, right.
Now, this other map.
Yes?
That's a cross-section of the old number 2 mine.
I see.
That's right next to the cave.
Well, is it close enough to dig through to the men?
Well, here, look for yourself.
Now,
see, when you put these two maps together like this, they don't seem to be over 18 or 20 feet apart.
How do you know the map is accurate?
Well, Buffum, accurate or not, we're going to try. It's a lot quicker than trying to dig through 200 feet of fallen timber and rock.
Yeah, well, just how do you think you're going to do it?
Well, we'll drive a pipe through.
A pipe? Or a...
Yeah, see, if it works, we can get air and food to those men.
Old number two mine must be full of gas.
All right, then. We'll take gas masks and white mice.
White mice? Why?
Yes, miss. They're affected quicker by gas than people are.
Oh.
They warn us when it's time to put on masks.
Well, how far apart did you say the two mines are?
Well, my guess was 20 feet, but if we and those men are lucky, it'll be less than that. Come on, let's get going. Come on, Buffin. You got the ventilators and fans going, your number two mine?
Yes, but not long enough to clear out the gas.
There are the masks. Peter, you got the mice?
Yeah, here they are, Mr. Campbell.
Now, I want volunteers to go with me in the number two. Six of you. Who'll go?
You only won five, Douglas. I'm going.
Oh, this is a job for miners, Mr. Wilson.
Well, then I'll be a miner.
All right, who else will volunteer?
I'm your man, Mr. Campbell.
Come on.
Me too.
I'm with you, boss.
My brother's down there. I'm in.
Good. Well, then we're all set.
Well.
Now, look, men.
Yes?
You bring those drill heads and length the pipe and follow me. And put your gas mask around your necks where you can reach them quickly.
All right.
Mr. Wilson, will you take charge of these mice?
Why, certainly. Anything you say.
Now, Watson, if any one of them peels over, give the alarm and put your own gas mask on.
All right.
You all ready, men?
All right.
Lower away. Here we are, men.
Which way are you going to drill, Douglas?
If my calculations are correct, we should be exactly opposite them. Well, have you threaded the drill point in the pipe?
Yes, sir.
Where are we starting? Right here. Come on, boys. Get going. How are the mice, Mr. Wilson?
Lively as cricket so far.
Looking good. I hope they stay that way.
You know, that was a great idea, Douglas, of yours, driving a pipe. You can certainly drive a pipe a lot faster than the men could dig. And the pipe will let in air, water, while the men wait to be dug out. Isn't that the idea?
They're still alive. We'll rescue them. Come on there, boys. Come on, digging. All of you. Come on. Thanks, my boys. Thanks. All of you.
Can't you stop him? Can't you stop him?
You can't stop a man that's only half conscious from moaning, Bill.
They're finished, I tell you. Have we got to die here like rats in a trap?
If it's God's will, we do. Oh,
there you go again. If there was one, you suppose he'd let us die and rot in this hole in the ground?
He's let better men than you or me die, Bill. So let's face it. That's what's in store for us.
You still think there's hope?
We're still alive, ain't we?
Well, the air's pretty foul, and this is the last battery for the lights.
If there was only something we could do.
We might... Pray.
Pray.
Yes, pray. It ain't a bad idea. Does anyone know a prayer?
You don't have to know a prayer, Bill. Just ask God to help you.
Then you do it for all of us, Peter. You know how.
Yeah. Well, try. Oh, Lord. We ask for your help.
Oh, God, God.
To get us out of this way. But if for some reason that ain't your wish, then please, oh, Lord, help us to die like men and forgive us for our sins on earth.
I like men.
Stay quiet. Go on, Peter.
And watch over our loved ones up there in your blessed sunshine. Amen.
Amen.
Listen. Do you hear it too?
Listen, men. It ain't from back toward the sheriff. Where's it coming from? It's here! On the sidewalk!
Yeah, it can't be! It's our heads again! It's our heads again!
It's help, boys! They're coming through from the old number two shack!
Don't stop, God in heaven! Don't stop! Don't stop! Don't stop!
How many feet have you drilled down, Doug?
22 feet.
22? But I thought you said it would be only 20 feet at the most.
I did. I can't understand it. I must have guessed wrong.
The men have stopped. What's the matter, Douglas?
Oh, I don't know. What's up, boys?
It's no use, the boss. We must be off the line.
I'm afraid that's right. It looks hopeless, Steve.
Well, you're going to give up?
What do you say, men? Should we make one more try?
It's up to you, boss. What game?
How much pipe you got left?
Not even 2 feet.
All right, let's drive the rest of it all the way in. Come on.
I don't want to go.
Listen. Hey, listen.
Yeah. They're working again.
Look. There. At the end of the heading.
That pond. They're almost through.
It's breaking.
There it is, boys. A drill head. They're through.
Bang that pipe with your hammer. Let them know.
let through.
Okay.
Now, let's through that trailhead.
Right. There you are.
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Are you all right?
Yes. But we need air.
All right, we'll come to oxygen in here.
They get some water in.
All right, keep your chins up now. We'll have you dug out within 12 hours.
Thank God. Did you hear that, man? In 12 hours, we'll be free again.
Thank God.
Go and get some rest, young fellow. Your share of the work's finished now.
Oh, I'm all right.
A little fresh air is all I need. Now, here we are at the surface.
How are they?
Please, all of you. All of the men trapped in the mine are alive and safe. We've gotten the pipeline through to them for air and water, and the rescue crew should have them out by evening.
Yeah? Douglas. I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you. Got to go home, fast.
Oh, what's the matter?
Your father's had a stroke. I'm afraid the shock of this last disaster was too much for him.
Douglas, how is your father?
He never recovered consciousness. He's gone.
Oh, I'm sorry,
dear. I am too.
Well, I came straight to you. I wanted to end any worry that you might have, Pete. But there's one thing I'd like you to believe.
Well, I'm sure I can, coming from you. What is it?
I'd like you to believe that if I could have told him what you did for me today, he'd have done the right thing. Will you?
Of course.
Oh, and I want you to know something else, Steve.
I know what you're going to tell me. That when the big town mines open again, they'll be as safe as science and money can make them. Isn't that it?
Yeah, that's it. How did you guess?
I didn't. I knew it.
The other day, a friend of mine said to me, "You know, until I heard you talk about Rinso on your program, I never could get rich, creamy suds on wash day. Because where I live, the water is as hard as nails." Well, now, as I told my friend, it is true that water hardness in the United States varies from place to place. But it's also true that water hardness is something that doesn't bother Rinso use. Because the new 1940 Rinso, thanks to the amazing suds booster it contains, just naturally ends hard water work. Well, you see, the new Rinso dissolves so quickly and whips up into such richer, thicker suds, whether the water is hard or soft. See? And ladies, if you want your washing machine to turn out dazzling white washes, you just rely on the new richer Rinso. Remember, Rinso is the only soap that's recommended by the makers of not one, not a few, but 33 famous washing machines. And believe you me, their endorsement is heartily approved by the millions of women from coast to coast who are proud of the whiteness and brightness of their Rinso wash clothes. That's why I strongly urge each of you to use Rinso first, last, and always in your wash. And say, ladies, here's a tip that means extra convenience for you. Remember, the Rinso your grocer now has is the new 1940 Rinso with its amazing sud booster. It comes in the same familiar package. Another stirring drama of life in big town, starring Edward G. Robinson with Claire Trevor, will be presented next week, same day, same time, same station, with original music composed and conducted by Fran Fry. All the characters and all the places named in big town are fictitious, and any similarity to persons or places is purely coincidental. In presenting our story, there was no reflection intended on the vast majority of mine owners who have cooperated in every way with technical and modern safety devices. Remember, friends, you can get your new 1940 Rinso containing the amazing new Sud Booster at your grocery. Do that tomorrow, won't you?